Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Michael Steele of Flywheel Digital, and today we are discussing the importance of education and training both your clients and staff within your agency. Michael started... Hi, Michael. I'll give you a little introduction here, and then I'll give you a chance to talk about your agency in a little bit more detail. So Michael started Flywheel on the side while teaching digital marketing at a local tech school after hearing from students and partners how much of a need there was for a more technical, transparent approach to digital marketing. Before that, he founded an e-commerce company called The Good Stuff and lived in San Francisco while growing a SaaS startup. Thanks so much for joining us today, Michael.
Yeah, really happy to be here.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell our listeners, where are you tuning in from today?
Yeah, so I'm based out of Vancouver, BC in Canada, currently calling in from our cabin just a little bit outside of that, out in the woods, but I'm a Vancouver local.
Very cool. And what gets you out of bed in the morning? What really motivates or inspires you?
Yeah, the biggest thing I think that inspires me is really around freedom and giving people kind of tools to live their life more freely. That's part of the thing I love so much about digital, and I think something everyone's really woken up to during COVID, if they've had the chance to, and that's what excites me the most is, yeah, giving people tools for freedom.
Very cool. And how did you get into digital marketing?
Yeah, so my history is a pretty long one. It actually goes back to high school. My dad ran a digital agency. He calls himself one of the old guards of email. so he started that, I think it was 1998 in one form or another. And by the time I was a teen, I kind of interned there, working on early Google Ads campaigns. And I think it was 2007.
Wow. Amazing experience that you had access to.
Totally. Yeah. Got to see it really early on and got to see how it evolved over time, which I'm really thankful for because it's in such a new industry. It's easy to forget what it looked like a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so why did you start Flywheel Digital?
Yeah. So you alluded to it a bit in the intro, but for me, it was a combination of my experience with my e-commerce company and with teaching, which was one that as much as I loved the e-commerce company, it wasn't a very freeing business, going back to what I was saying before. It required a lot of being in production, being, you know, in demos or in-person events, and it required a supply chain. And what I was really excited about was an opportunity for a business that could be run from anywhere with any different kind of person, and not unlock that not just for myself, but for a lot of other people. So that was kind of the why for what it could mean for my life. And then the other side of that was, like you said, just hearing how much of a need there was from students who were frankly taking the course because they'd say, hey, I'm not sure if my agency is screwing me, but I don't think they're very technical and maybe I should be too. So just saw a real opportunity to unite that mission and that value.
It's really interesting. And then what do you love most about running your agency?
I would say I still really love the coaching and the mentorship opportunities. And that's part of why it came up as a discussion for this. But even yesterday, we had a really good kind of performance review. But for us, that looks more like a growth plan and identified ways in which that team member could grow. And when I get to have those types of conversations, that's always the most exciting for me.
Well, that's awesome. I love that. And then what are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
They're also the inverse for that, for sure. I would say almost entirely people related. We really, really love the team we've got, but it is such a challenge bringing in good people, such a challenge ramping them up to kind of do things the way we do. And then keeping them happy. And so it's a challenge I really enjoy. I know some people don't, and that's why they maybe stay away from the agency business, because I think you have to love it in this business.
Yeah.
But our biggest challenges and our biggest wins are almost always have to do with people.
Interesting. And then if you had one growth tip for your agency that you could share with other agency owners who are up and coming, what would that be?
I would say the advice I would give to myself a couple of years ago, which would probably be the same as that, is learn how to say no and who to say no to.
That's a good one. Putting those boundaries in place.
Totally. And people talk about saying no to clients that are, you know, that don't treat you well. And I think that's almost table stakes. I think it's, in terms of growth, even more important to say no to clients that just don't match your goals or the type of work you want to do. And those are the really, I find the really hard ones. But it ultimately saying no, I think, leads to the most growth.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. So let's delve into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about the importance of education and training both your clients and your staff within your agency. So to start, why is education such an important element of running a successful agency?
Yeah, I think it comes down to a couple of reasons that almost come back to the two sides of the business. You know, you're working with staff, and then those staff are working with clients. On the staff side, again, it is such a competitive job market right now, and I don't think in digital skills that's going to change anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And so for us, that education piece is really important because it allows us to bring in people earlier in their career. And even for people later in their career, you know, I'm not necessarily just talking about interns, but even someone who is maybe a manager somewhere else, but isn't as technical, or is a technical person that needs to become a manager. In so many ways, I find engineering education and training is a great way to bring people and focus on the right culture fit, and then add on the technical skills or even soft skills that they need. So I think that's a big part of it. On the other side, when it comes to clients, a big part of what I saw, again, was really informed by my time teaching, and people really not enjoying the black box experience that a lot of agencies have. And I think it's a result of agencies that maybe have a background in old world creative and are incredibly talented, but they say, hey, like, you need to trust us and we're going to do what we do and it's going to generate results. And, you know, go ahead and wait for it. And what I found is the clients really, really want to be involved in that process and to help make the right decisions we need to make, whether that's about where budget goes, what type of creative to create or whatever else, they need to kind of get it. And so for us, it's been a lever for having positive relationships that last a long time and for just, you know, growing what we're able to do with the client, which is ultimately a big part of our role.
Very good. And then, so how has your background as an educator informed your approach to staffing and training?
Yeah, so it has in a couple ways. It's funny. So the school that I worked at is called Red Academy, and it was unfortunately all in person and hasn't lasted after COVID, which is a shame because it was a really great school.
Oh, okay.
But it was founded by two agency owners, and they experienced, basically what I'm experiencing, which is, hey, we bring all these people into our agency and we spend the first couple months basically teaching them anyway, and we're paying them to learn. What if there's a world in which, you know, they could pay us to learn because we are adding so much value here? And so that was kind of a genesis story. And I very much saw that on the other side of teaching it is we were really arming them with the skills and kind of the consistency to be able to come in and add value earlier. Part of my approach, frankly, really early on, how it informed it is I hired a lot of people that I used to teach, and that was one of our big advantages. How it's informed it after that, though, is taking a similar approach to what there was called curriculum building, and now it's kind of called training program building for us, which is really identifying outcomes and going, what does this person need to be able to do? And which is not that new in the world probably of training, but was quite new in the world of curriculum, which is typically more kind of competence-based. And that kind of concept of what do we need these people to be able to do has really driven how we think about training.
Okay, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, so what benefits have you witnessed as a result of thorough training and educating your staff?
Yeah. So I'd probably start by answering that with all the challenges we saw before we had that in place. And this might resonate to some, but even though despite bringing so much of my own values around education into starting this business, which was just over 4 years ago now, every new business, you know, is not going to have a robust training program to start. Part of my initial assumption was I have a background as an educator. I want to hire people who have a teacher's mindset, and that's one of our values. And that in itself will allow people to kind of learn by doing, and the same way they did at Red Academy, and ultimately that will ramp them up to being on the job.
Interesting.
What I found in practice is that learning by doing on the job is a little bit different from learning by doing in the classroom. And when we didn't have those programs in place, we ended up stretching ourselves really, really thin because we kind of had to throw people into the fire. So their version of learning by doing was, hey, we have to put this report together for a client next month. You go ahead and put it together. And then, you know, we expect it'll take a little bit longer, so on and so on. But like, you know, go ahead and do it and then we can hope you can get it. And what we found is that process, for one, if someone didn't get it right away, which is always going to happen, it started to drag deadlines on client work and started to kind of really stress the team out because they're kind of training, you know, using the client work. And it started to, it created, I think, a feedback loop, which wasn't as positive as it could be because feedback is really important. But basically, because students were learning only through getting feedback, sorry, I said students, I meant new hires, only through that feedback, they would kind of end up not feeling great early on because they kind of go, oh my God, like I'm getting so much feedback and like I must be blowing it.
And it was a bit overwhelming to them.
Exactly. I can almost feel a little unfair, like, hey, I wasn't really given, you know, a guide or training on how to do this. So and now I'm getting all this feedback on how I maybe didn't do it the right way. You know, that's not fair. I'd love to just be able to do it right. And so I think it led to a less positive onboarding experience and made our non-new staff, made the people who had to do the kind of training through doing, spread them really, really thin.
Those are
some of the, I think, the downsides we saw to not having it. In flipping that, now that we have some programs in place, the benefits are the inverse. So really having new hires come on and have that not stretch our existing team members super, super thin, and having them feel a little bit more safe in onboarding where they know they can experiment, make some errors, ask some questions, figure it out. And it's not necessarily like dragging the whole team back or they're not necessarily being judged on that either. So it's really been, I think, unlocking in that regard.
Yeah. Well, I'm really interested to hear what your onboarding and training process looks like within your agency for your new hires.
Yeah, totally. So even again, for myself with a training background, we identified the need, I would say probably 6 to 9 months ago and went, okay, we want to have training programs in place. Our agency for context is 15 full-time people and some of their contractors. So we're a fairly small team and pretty much everyone is a digital marketer in some way or another. So not like we have kind of a learning and development team to build this out. So we identified this need and then we kind of went, wow, like, this is a big beast of a project. How are we going to take this on? And I think that's something a lot of small agencies find.
Yeah.
The approach we took to it was focusing first and foremost on, again, what people can do and organizing that as learning outcomes and then deliverables. Before we had the team kind of create any training materials, recordings, whatever, we just had the teams kind of get into their groups. So SEO team, pay team, and so on. And go, what does this person need to be able to learn? And what's something they can ship to be able to do? So one example of that is with our SEO training, for example, you need to be able to understand how to do keyword research. So understanding what goes into keyword research is a learning outcome. Mm-hmm. And then the deliverable is basically delivering a keyword strategy. What we found when we focused on that is even just by having that outline of here's what they need to learn, here's what they got to do to get there, we could actually have kind of a shell of a training program, or even if we haven't developed any of the other materials, they could at least go, this is where you need to go, this is kind of how you get there. Everything in between, there is so many resources available online, and you also have your manager and you have that person that can coach you, that they can help you get there. So a lot of what our onboarding looks like, from that training perspective, is as part of onboarding, you're going to do these four basically example deliverables. It's like client work, but it's not for the client. Mm-hmm. And we're going to give you a whole bunch of third-party resources and internal resources when we do have them to read and learn. And then at some time we just say, like, you need to be able to do, you know, a competitive analysis as part of the keyword strategy. Ask your manager how to do this. We don't have a resource for it yet. And creating that permission for, like, this doesn't have to be training materials that are totally comprehensive and all created by Flywheel allowed us to, I think, move really fast on creating training programs that were usable for our team without necessarily, getting a production studio open or writing, you know, pages and pages of documentation. So
yeah,
that's kind of what that onboarding looks like now is primarily the doing and going, here are your deliverables, here are your resources, start moving.
That's really interesting. And then, so do you guys use any kind of software to assist with that? Or is it, you know, Google Docs type thing? What is
that? We are a really, yeah, good question. We are a really big Notion company. We run our kind of whole company through Notion, which for anyone who's not familiar, it's kind of a combination Google Docs plus, I would say, almost like a bit of functionality of something like Trello, where you can organize things in cards and databases. Cool. And so within our Notion, we have a learning hub, and that learning hub will have docs in it. And then it will sometimes link out to Google Docs or, again, to third-party pages or resources. But it all lives within Notion, which I would highly recommend for stuff like this.
Yeah, well, yeah, just hearing what you guys have put in place is such great inspiration for other agency owners. Do you have any other advice that you'd like to give any agency owners who, you know, might feel overwhelmed or feel like they don't have the time to put together a training process?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say, I would underscore part of what I said before, which is don't try to build all the materials yourself first. There are so many good materials. And as an agency owner, the advantage you have and the kind of value you could add in training is understanding what they need to be able to do and the outcomes, and having incredible resources available in the form of the rest of your team to get people there. So I think my primary advice would be, don't worry as much about the materials, which I think often people do focus about, mm-hmm. and focus on the process and the outcomes.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, that's super helpful. Okay, so let's pivot a little bit now, and I'd love to talk about how education comes into play when you're dealing with your clients. So
yeah,
how does education play a key role when it comes to maintaining happy clients?
Yeah, so I think this is maybe true of all agencies, but in the game we play, which I would say is performance, it really, really matters. And the reason is, you know, we're having conversations on a regular basis with our clients about performance, about the results. And that's typically monthly, we'll zoom out quarterly, we'll even have touch bases, even on a weekly basis. And there's so much data involved in performance and in what goes into that, that it can be overwhelming for the client and it can be hard to even understand what it all means. So
yeah,
two pieces to how that matters starts with education. The first is we see a lot of our value add as helping our client make sense of the data. What do these numbers mean? Why is this number up? Is the fact that conversion rate is up actually showing that our website is better, or does it maybe just show that there's less like unqualified traffic there? And there's so many of those factors. Mm-hmm. So I think that's helped us from a value perspective where clients hire us for performance, but I think frankly, like the kind of sub benefit they hire us for is at times peace of mind. Hey, Flywheel knows what this means and Flywheel is helping me know what it means. And another big part of why that has to happen in an education way is often we're working with marketing managers and marketing directors. They then have to go communicate that to their stakeholders, whether it's their CEO, their investors, whoever else. Mm-hmm. A big part of my experience before this agency, like you mentioned, was at a startup down in San Francisco. As you can imagine, they were pretty much constantly raising money. And part of my job at the time was making sure that the digital marketing reports that I provided could flow up to an investor level to say, hey, here's high level why our digital marketing machine is working and why you should give us more money.
Right.
So everyone has that version of a boss. And part of why education is such a value add for us and for our clients is they need to be able to take that information upwards. That's going to help them in their job, help them like us. It's also going to help them advocate for more resources.
Yeah.
So that's the first way, is really around supporting the client and understanding the stakeholders they have on the other end, which leads to a better relationship. The other way in which data is important has to do with typically when performance is not going as well, or results at least are not what is expected, mm-hmm. And helping diagnose why that's the case, and also avoiding a conversation of kind of shirking accountability and keeping it focused on what's doable and what can be done. Because there's always something you can do to improve. But right. I think what happens often with agencies, if they're not willing to educate, is they'll say, hey, performance is down this month. It's you know, probably seasonality or not a big deal. We've got a bunch of ideas for how we can fix it. And, you know, don't worry about it. We're on it. And what that misses out is taking paid as an example, paid advertising. Paid happens, you know, is managed by the agency, but it happens in this whole world of marketing. And if you're able to bring the client in and say, hey, paid is down, but, you know, we think it might be due to, we had one client recently that eyeglasses and a lot of what they would do would book people to be in person. We think what that has to do is people don't want to come in person anymore as COVID is kind of ramped back up. Mm-hmm. And here's the signals we're seeing in that. Here's the creative that's not working like it used to. And then what that allows us to do is have them contribute to, okay, here's what we're doing on our end to change that. And here's how we can potentially even update the site to better reflect whether it's our COVID safety or the new ways you can engage online. So I find by bringing them into what we're doing, we can kind of respect their perspective a little more and bring it in, as opposed to what I think happens sometimes, which is the paid team's over here or the agency's over here, the marketing happens over here, and they talk to, they touch base, but they're not really collaborating. So for right. us, that educational piece unlocks that collaboration, which unlocks certainly a better relationship. And in times, opportunities for upsells for things like, hey, you know, you need a new landing page to match that, we can do that. And let's have that conversation.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I really like that. And then, so when it comes to, you know, clear communication, how important is having that ongoing communication with your clients instead of, you know, having, you know, a monthly report that gets sent out and just, you know, making sure that you're really staying in close contact with your clients?
Yeah, I do think that's really important. I think particularly going remote, it can be easy for agency and client to go, hey, let's, you know, just send the report over via Slack or just go back and forth on email or whatever that is. In person or as an even over a Zoom call is really important. And I would also highlight part of how I think about that is intentional communication and investing in communication. Part of that, again, is having those face-to-face touch points. Another big part of it that we talk a lot about is being really intentional and organized in how you communicate it. So one of the things I coach my team on a lot is we like to structure almost everything we do as insights and actions. So, hey, here's something we're seeing in the data and here's how we think we can action it. And a lot of people will naturally skip right to action and they'll go, hey, I think we should do this thing. And it misses the really important part of it, which is here's the rationale behind it. And not only does that have the client kind of buy in, but it also helps them learn and helps them go, okay, like here's what you've seen in the data that leads to this thing. Mm-hmm. And when we're able to tease that out, it's so much more powerful and such better communication than just we're going to do the thing. It also takes more time, but that time, whether you're talking through it on a call or whether you're just making sure that's really clear in the report, I think it's time well spent.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. And then how does education affect your sales process?
Yeah, in a couple ways. Early on, it was, again, I think one of my unfair advantages was being a teacher and having a network of people who knew me through that and getting a lot of leads, frankly, through that of former students. And then even as I had to step away from teaching for time's sake, I've still maintained a focus on education and marketing. So pre-COVID ran quite a few workshops locally in Vancouver and with different business groups. And, you know, we would offer those for free or sometimes even charge for them. But either way, it would just keep building that network of people who saw the value in what we do and kind of got it. And it is a big part of our like my belief in our sales process is if people kind of get it, if they get kind of what digital means to them and they get that, and then they have the trust that we're the people that can do it, mm-hmm. then the rest of it comes really naturally. So for us, education is our main marketing tool through things like workshops, speaking, and so on. And then it's really important as a sales tool as well, where they can kind of get it. I think the last thing I would say about that, typically when people come to us, I often call it a plumber scenario. People typically don't come to us and say, hey, I don't know if I want to do any of this digital stuff. I convince me. And we don't do a lot of outbound. Everyone kind of knows they need digital in some way. And most of the people come to us, I say it's a plumber scenario because they feel they've got some sort of broken toilet. So they might go, we have no SEO strategy. Our paid is underperforming. Our data is all messed up. They've got some big fire. And they'll come to us and say, hey, can you be a plumber and come fix your fire?
Yeah.
And part of our sales conversation is educating, hey, you know, your toilet might be overflowing. There's a whole system of piping and a whole structure that goes beyond that. And we can own your whole system. And the rest of it might not be broken, but there's an opportunity to have us all work together and do it right. And so it's not a perfect metaphor, but we often say in education, we want to take people from a plumber scenario to where they view us more like an architect. And that's education is the piece that takes them from A to B.
Very cool. And then, so we've talked about your staff, we've talked about your clients. So how are you educating yourself and staying current with changes in the industry since it's such a fast-paced environment?
Yeah, so in a few different ways. So one of the things that's been a challenge for me in a way is I'm a digital marketer by trade, but although we're not a large company at 15 people and as the CEO, I'm not necessarily executing the strategies in the way I was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually a little bit further away from it. It is still really important to me to stay on top of that, especially as we think about, you know, what's the future of our business. I get a lot of that now through my team. And so in our one-on-ones, we always set a time aside basically for, we call it either reflections, you know, what's something you've learned, or shares, like, hey, what's just something interesting you found? And mm-hmm. as much as I can coach my team now on management and approach, they'll often coach me and provide me insight on what's happening in the industry. The other thing we Very do cool. related to that, that's been really nice is we do what we call coffee chats a couple times a month where some subject matter expert will bring forward some topic and give a really short talk to the team about it. I find those hugely informative to myself and what's changing in the industry. And I find that hugely informative for the rest of the team too. So a lot of it is frankly relying on my team, given I can't learn through doing in the way that I might have a few years ago.
That's awesome. Are there any other things you'd like to mention on the topic of education before we begin wrapping up?
Yeah, I think the other piece that came to mind just when you're talking about how to learn, one thing I am really excited about, I think why learning goes so well at Flywheel is we really value it, and we take, even as an internal company, really a community approach to it where anyone can learn from someone else within the company at any given time. What I see is the future for us and the future for a lot of learning in general, especially like you said, in a very fast changing industry, is learning through community. We have goals to build our own kind of community of digital marketers outside our agency and be able to provide training down the road, you know, from us, but to, again, outside people.
Yeah.
But again, similar to what I said before, the materials aren't as important to that as just, I think, the community of people where people can ask, like, hey, what's the deal with, you know, this iOS change, or how can I approach this type of creative? And I'm really excited about community as a big part of the learning experience. And that's something we're in the early stages at, but I think it benefits everyone to think about.
Okay, awesome. So you're in the early stages. Is that something you'd like to share at this point, or is that something that you're not quite ready to share yet?
We unfortunately don't have much to share, but down the road, the plan is to be able to offer, I think, a learning experience and a community to the broader audience. If I had a link to plug, I certainly would, but unfortunately at this point, it's just a glimmer in our team's eye.
Okay, yeah, no problem. And then, so where do you see Flywheel Digital in 5 years' time?
Yeah, so my focus really right now is creating the best possible agency, and that starts with the best possible team. So mm-hmm. staffing up our team and staffing up our process around that, and even the support team for that. So things like, you know, people and culture, operations. We've got goals this year to go from 15 to 25 people. I see in the next few years us going to probably about 50 people. I might be in the minority on this in agency world. I'm frankly not sure the agency model works really well for digital businesses beyond about 50 people. I'm going to experiment with that, but I think there's a version of my business that doesn't grow beyond about 50 people that we think is a really incredible business. Mm-hmm. From there, where we grow is, again, more into education and community and using that great team to kind of expand our impact there. And also working with in-house brands and owning businesses ourselves that we grow in addition to our clients. And we currently own about 3 in-house brands and different websites in different ways, and growing them is a lot of fun because that's the client that says yes to every idea we have because we're our own client. So
yeah,
growing that headcount is a big part of our goal in the shorter term. And in the longer term, it's really growing the type of impact a business like Flywheel can have even beyond clients and within the, you know, entrepreneurship and education worlds.
Well, that's really exciting. I'm excited for you guys.
Thank you.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Recently, I read High Output Management, which is an old book, and it's got a very stuffy name, but it's very, I think it's still very relevant even 30 years later. And anytime you see that in a book, I think it's worth thinking. So High Output Management.
Okay, perfect. And what does your morning routine look like?
I have moved to working out most mornings. I'm historically a brutal morning person, and I've overcorrected for that by getting up early and dragging myself to go see my trainer.
Yeah.
And I've been very happy I do that. So I don't start work as early as I used to, but most mornings I go see my trainer, and then pretty much rolling out of bed, you know, rubbing my eyes and then getting over to the gym.
Yeah. It energizes you so much. So I feel like on the days that I work out before I start work, I actually get way more done. I'm so much more productive.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. The same.
Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know, one that I work, that I have a chance to work with decently close, I have a lot of admiration for, is my old boss, who I would still consider a friend, is Jeremy Shackey of Lighthouse Labs. And their business is, I think, a leader in education in Canada. And I do look up to him and follow him very closely, partially because Lighthouse Labs is a client of ours, but also because as I think about education, it's important to think about who's on the forefront of that. And I would say I get more inspiration from tangential markets or even things outside of business for my own business than I do necessarily from studying agency or even tech leaders.
Very cool. And what is your favorite online tool?
It's got to be Ahrefs. This is an SEO tool. Most people are familiar with it. It's not maybe like a hipster pick. But the reason I love it is I love thinking about different ideas for niches and opportunities. And in conversation all the time, someone will have an idea for some kind of far off niche. And I love just whipping open Ahrefs and going like, how difficult is this to rank? What's some of the stuff that could rank? And I've got a real kind of soft spot for SEO. And so I love jumping back into Ahrefs.
Ahrefs and SEMrush are definitely a two most popular whenever I ask that question on the podcast.
That's so interesting.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Yeah, I think probably early in any business or in anything, even a career, something that hung over me a lot was fear of failure. And mm-hmm. There's an emotional part of that which people talk about. But I think the other part for me is it's hard to think really long term when you have a big fear of failure. And so whether that was my e-commerce business or early in Flywheel, I was always thinking about what's that next client I can get? How can we, you know, make it just a couple months ahead and make sure this business is a real thing? I think it's such an advantage to be able to think a few years ahead, and Flywheels, I'm in for the long game. You know, I hope it's a 20, 30 year business, and even allowing to think about that allows me to think about some of those more exciting things we talked about today, like what can education look like? What can owning our brand look like? And so I would say moving through that fear of failure would be the number one advice I'd give.
And was there, you know, a mindset shift that you had to make in order to get over that fear of failure?
A lot of that, yeah, I would say it was self-learning and self-talk for sure, and working with great mentors. And I can kind of remember when the moment shifted, and I think it happened when my staff payroll became greater than like what I could give up by not paying myself. So say I paid myself, let's say at the time it was $5,000 a month, mm-hmm. and then my staff payroll was something like $10,000 a month early on. I was like, okay, like even if I go to zero, I still got to pay my staff. And that was terrifying, realizing that I didn't really have an out by just taking away my own salary. And it forced me to kind of acknowledge that the business was a real thing and just come to terms with that there is a risk, but there's no real way out of that risk, frankly. And so weirdly, it's almost like, I don't know why that was did it for me, but that realization helped me come to terms with my fear of failure.
That's really interesting. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Michael. It's been really great chatting with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I'm really glad you brought me in.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.